podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening and welcome back to another live episode here on the Red Tinted Glasses YouTube channel. A hastily arranged episode, almost like Dave Cormack trying to appoint an interim manager at Aberdeen. And this podcast feels like I'm trying to rival Aberdeen with going through as many co-hosts as we're going through managers. For those watching live, you'll see another new co-host in the chair tonight. Delighted to be joined by regular commenter on these live videos, but he's swapping the comment section for the co-host chair, Ewan Grant. Ewan, welcome to the show tonight.
Thanks very much, Glenn. Popping my podcast cherry tonight.
Yeah, so I wish it was in better circumstances for a debut for yourself, and there's certainly lots to discuss. Gorantilis in the comments saying, where the hell do we go from here? I'm pretty sure he means the football club, not this podcast or my search for a permanent co-host, it feels at times. But Ewan, probably the perfect place to start. Where do we go from here? Because defeat last night in Dundee leaves us 3 points above 11th. Are we getting worried yet?
Well, I wrote down before the game, I think this is the game that moves us out of just in trouble and into serious trouble. I mean, the question, where do we go from here? Unfortunately, the trajectory has just been down and down and down. I mean, it's got constantly worse over the season. So, I mean, there's the optimist view of we can only go up from here, but I don't think that's the case.
No, and that's, you know, Peter Leven pulled no punches in his post-match press conference last night, saying that the penny has to drop sometime soon. He told the players that the performance last night was simply not good enough, fell way below the standards. But we heard that from Neil Warnock. Neil Warnock got accused of throwing the players under the bus. I'm not going to say Peter Leven's done the same. He's been thrown into an unfortunate position, probably made worse by Neil Warnock's time in the club compared to where we were under Barry Robson. But underperforming against Barry Robson, or for Barry Robson, I should say, sorry, underperforming with Neil Warnock in charge, and an absolutely embarrassing performance last night by all accounts. When do the players start taking some accountability and standing up and showing a bit of pride for this football club?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen the reaction of Shinny at St Mirren, but that's one player and we've got 11 players on the park. I mean, you hear the cliche about they need to have 11 leaders on the park. I just don't see it. So, and Peter Leven last night saying the penny has to drop for the players, it should have dropped by now. Really, it should have dropped by now. So the players have to recognise where they are, which is in a relegation fight, own up to it, and start acting accordingly and realise the situation they're in. So it's down to the individual, I think.
Yeah, and I think, you know, interesting, you know, you comment on Shinny's reaction at St Mirren, and, you know, depending on what side of the coin of Graham Shinny you fall on, people say, well, that's just him showing again that, you know, a bit of passion and he cares. But, you know, he's just as responsible for the bad performances. Just because he shouts loud and gets passionate doesn't kind of exclude him for any criticism. And he's another one in the press kind of bumping his gums about the, you know, taking responsibility. But it's all well and good, you know, saying those sort of things in the press to appease the anger that I'm sure was displayed at full time last night at Dens Park. We'll come to a comment from Paul Donaldson in relation to that. But it's getting to this point in the season where the talk is cheap now. We need to see action on the pitch. And for me, I think, Ewan, the biggest disappointment was we saw an improved performance at the weekend against Kilmarnock. Whether you want to say Dundee benefited from having that extra rest compared to us, I don't think the level of performance we put in last night is merited based on Dundee having an extra few days off.
No, it's far beyond that, especially at this level. I mean, it's quite baffling. The game against Kilmarnock was quite vibrant in places and we had a really good structure about us and we got the result and, you know, did really well. We're really, really bright in spells. And I don't understand what happens in the space of a few days where you can have that structure and look like you've got the grasp of the basics in the game to then play really dreadful football. It's baffling.
It really is. And to kind of go on to a point about last night, and I guess the kind of reaction to the players needing to wake up and smell the coffee, if you want, and appreciate the situation we are now in. And I guess this is going back a little bit to the weekend where people were arguing the point about the Scottish Cup becoming a distraction, and the league was more important, staying in the league was more important. I have to say, I thought winning on Saturday would maybe inspire a few players to want to nail down that place for Hampden in April and kick on, and especially like, so Angus McDonald, some of those midfield players that have been bit part players this season. New manager allegedly coming in a couple of weeks as well, trying to prove a point to whoever decides to take the job. God help them at this stage. But Paul Donaldson saying last night was as angry as I've seen Aberdeen fans at full time since the Darvel and Motherwell Cup defeats in the past two seasons. Sack the board and you're not fit to wear the shirt, heard yet again. The fans throughout the 90 minutes, certainly at St Mirren, and you could hear at spells last night, fully getting behind the team during the game, but well within their rights to then vent their anger and displeasure once that full-time whistle blows. And again, you can't then argue against the players because the fans are doing their job. They're sticking with the team, but at full-time, I think within their rights to vent any displeasure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fans have done, if the fans have a job to do, they did it. The fans did their job of trying to support the team through 90 minutes, and the job of the players is to go out and fight and show a bit of bottle and try and get a result. There was none of that. So I can completely understand fans being angry, and I try and be positive, but it's only so long you can be positive. With no reciprocation before you start turning to getting angry, and it's going to continue unless things turn around.
And I think that anger and apathetic is kind of where a lot of people are maybe sitting on the fence of just now. And obviously Ross County going on to pick up that late point at Dingwall, which could be a huge point not just for their season but in effect on our season as well. And that game coming up at the end of the month at home to Ross County, really looking like an absolutely massive game, depending on the outcome of this weekend result. And how much faith do you have in this team? I know we're going to come on to it in a bit more, but right now, after the results of last night, our defeat at Dundee and Ross County picking up that point, where do you lie in having faith and belief that this team will not drop down as far as 11th?
I've some slight hope, but it's just being dented every day. My hope about the team not falling further down the league lies more now with Ross County. They're a team that's shown a bit of bottle, a bit of fight, and they're starting to look like they've got a semblance of form coming together. That's a real worry. I mean, the players are good players, and the players need to start realizing that they can play better. And I don't think it's a big of a leap as they think it is to start putting together some structured football and try and beat Ross County's results.
Yeah, and as IW97 says, I have more faith in Ross County picking up points than us, says a lot about our current situation. Grim. And I think, Ross County seem to have this knack at this present moment in picking up points, or in one case, I think they were actually on for winning the game and ended up drawing. But they're putting points on the board. We're on this winless run and run of defeats that's really kind of saw us drop back into a situation I didn't think we would ever be kind of sitting here and discussing. And we go back to at one point in the season having four games in hand. We didn't win any of those four games in hand.
No.
It's ultimately meant fuck all at the end of the day. And we are now looking over our shoulders, and I'm sure those going to Motherwell or not and are staying at home will not only have one eye on events at Fir Park this weekend, but will have the notifications on for what's happening in Dingwall. Because one way or another, that's going to set up the 30th of March to be a very tasty affair. And if it then in turn encourages a big turnout at Pittodrie for that game, we all know how well we perform in front of a big crowd.
Yeah, I mean, it's the 30th of March. I think for a few weeks now, people have been starting to look at that game. Some in semi-jest, but now it's serious because it's going to be a massive psychological hammer blow to whoever loses that game, if there is going to be a loser. Whatever the sequence of results, you know, Aberdeen, Motherwell, and then Ross County Hearts, whatever that sequence of results, it doesn't change the magnitude of the game on the 30th. Mm-hmm. And if I have a feeling that if Ross County lose that game, they will not be hit as psychologically bad as we will. If we lose that game, I think there'll be a few players start to really crumble. Whereas if Ross County lose it, I think there'll be a few players that have got some grit and determination to say, right, let's keep going, let's see what we can do.
Yeah, obviously the potential going into that game is that we, best case scenario, are 6 points and you turn six into nine. But who knows? And obviously on that point you just make, there was a comment coming in kind of simultaneously from, again, Garantilis, saying that the biggest fear for him is that if when Ross County catch us, I can't see us overtaking them again. And look, people will say we're being negative, but obviously this is fan comments here that we are reading out. Pedro73 saying fans are worried, so emotions will be high. And I think right now there is a lot of worry amongst the Aberdeen support. So some of these comments, whilst seeming negative, are probably genuine worry and concern, because we're not used to being in a situation like this for a good number of years. And the fear is creeping in. And I think the point you made was really relevant as well. A lot of fans who maybe weren't worried were joking about this fixture at the end of the month being a big game. Come 5 o'clock on Saturday, it could be even more season defining than I called the Scottish Cup quarterfinal against Kilmarnock.
Yeah, like I say, the game seems to have been, I thought St Mirren was a watershed game, but that game last night really was, as I said, it puts us from in trouble to seriously in trouble. And let's not forget, we've got to play Ross County again after the split.
Yeah.
So the season is, you know, even if we beat Ross County on the 30th, we've still got a ways to go, but the 30th is going to be a psychological game, and I think they'll be lucky to survive it.
Yeah, it's. I just wonder as well how much effect that game being at home potentially has on us as well. Lots of you getting involved tonight in the comments, various different points on you know, last night's game, games coming up. I want to kind of go back to this point, and it's a point being made a few times. You see the discussion on social media. The club's decision to get rid of Barry Robson a day before the January transfer window, obviously the subsequent bad form we've been on, again, probably like any player, as soon as they get injured and we get terrible, obviously Rubisic, a player with our defence, the musical boxing looks like getting rid of Robson was a mistake. I don't know if it was a mistake to get rid of him. For me, it was a mistake getting rid of him as late as we ended up doing. And I think that decision to do that at that time is being amplified by the run that we're on, and thinking, would we be any worse off? Would we be better off if we just kept him? And in the end, you know, going on till the end of the season with him and then parting ways then?
It's a difficult one, because hindsight, you know, hindsight's a great thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't answer this question. You can't answer the question, was getting rid of Robson a mistake?
No.
But it's starting to look like stability is, and consistency is a big issue for the players. And there's been an inconsistency in management. Guys, there's been players in this club that have had 3, 4, 5 different managers over, you know, as many years. And it's starting to be reflected in the play, where it's inconsistent, jumbled, decision making's off, mixed messages between the players. So the argument can be made that perhaps we should have just stuck it out. But at the time, it's always going to look like the right decision. We're only saying this now because we've got worse. I don't think if the board knew that we were going to get worse by sacking Robson, they wouldn't have sacked him.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, you know, as I said, when a situation gets worse, it becomes, that previous decision becomes more obvious. Same, you know, when we were going through that defensive patch, everyone suddenly turned around and said, you know, we miss Rubizic. How good was Rubizic? We underestimated how good he was, you know, forgetting some of the mistakes he did at the start of the season. I'm not saying we definitely don't miss him, but, you know, again, you look at up the top end of the pitch, going back to former guest of the show, Christian Ramirez, when he was here and we weren't scoring, oh, we miss Ramirez, you know, Ramirez should be playing, that sort of thing. You know, we've got players, no wingers, Vinny Bizauen suddenly turns into one of the best wingers in the world, the longer we didn't have wingers as well. It's just the joys of being a football fan. On the debate of Barry Robson, top striker T, saying it was a mistake to get rid of Robson, countered by IW97 saying the decision to get rid of Robson was correct. However, the timing and subsequent circus that's followed was the mistake. I think most fans would probably agree with that. Let's talk a little bit about the game last night, Ewan. I think for me, certainly watching the highlights back and probably those in attendance, the biggest disappointment from last night will have been not the fact that we named an unchanged 11, but probably the lack of fight that was shown in that first half and how easily Dundee managed to overpower our midfield and kind of create chances and good chances of that at will, because it really feels unexplainable that the contrast in that level of performance to what we saw from the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, we made Dundee look like a proper football top six side. And I think that flatters the actual quality of Dundee, but they just seem to be an offset notch where we're just not up to the standard that they are. And it's bizarre because we seem to be second to react, we seem to be a yard off the pace. And it again, as you said there, how can you go from being dominant in phases against Kilmarnock to being a league, you have to say, a championship level side, it looked like, against Dundee? Mm-hmm. It's going to be the question of the season, how we the inconsistency that's been shown.
Yeah, and it's difficult because I don't know where to pin that inconsistency on. Is it a manager thing? Is it a player thing? Is it a mentality thing? It's really baffling. And there was a kind of comment earlier, I'll get it here from Mike Dunn. How many times have we heard that we have some really good players? Do we though? He says, technique-wise, perhaps, maybe, but you need more than above average ability to succeed at everything in life. Well, that feels like a very good and quote that folk would have on their like living room wall and that. But you know, Connor Barron, a player that, you know, I'm certainly a big fan of and would like to see next season. A player though that I saw last night coming in for a lot of criticism, again, in terms of watching the highlights, for me, the defence looked second to everything, really unsure of a lot of things. There was that opportunity in the first half where Dundee really should have scored. Gartenman gets kind of caught out. Angus McDonald, a bit ball watching, a bit unsure. Jack McKenzie just totally not picking up and following his man. Just not at the races, just not switched on. And again, this was what offers me the biggest amount of concern. It is the players not switching on, not being positionally aware of what is happening. When you talk about kind of our mentality versus that of potentially what Ross County have, because they've got the experience of being in dogfights. We don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and you're starting to see it in the results. They ground out a huge result against Hibs with that draw. And it's an interesting quote there about, we've heard of some really good players. I was speaking to somebody today about this. It's like almost like our team is like a knockoff bit of tech. I mean, it looks quite decent, but then you put it down and get it start working and it just doesn't, there's just something wrong with it. So, I mean, you hear, it's a cliche in football, but teams that are fighting for relegation, the ones that survive are really well organised. Mm-hmm. You do not have the organisation. And I think our organisation is going to be worse than Ross County's. That comes back to the manager and the success of the manager. Managers lead the tone. Managers set the tone. And there's been so many of them over the last few years, it's garbled.
The problem is, you know, you speak about being organised on the pitch. If you can't be organised off the pitch, that ultimately will feed down to those on the pitch, because you're getting one set of ideas one week and then suddenly the next. We're getting no stability for any sort of manager. And again, you know, Neil Warnock only here for 33 days, not going to have any time to impact things. Would we have been any worse off had we just let Peter leave? You know, people saying, well, we shouldn't have got rid of Barry Robson. Should we have even brought Neil Warnock in the first place? Just leave it with Peter leaving off the back of that Celtic draw. Again, you're just going back to hindsight being a wonderful thing. In terms of, you know, the performance, again, going back to last night, first half, again, we seem to be a 45-minute side where first half, not the races. Dundee could have scored a good two or three goals in that first 45. Peter Leven spoke about his halftime team talk at Celtic, you know, trying to relax the players, tell them that they're good players, show the fans what they can do. Maybe probably expected similar last night, but it was more of the same in the second half, and Dundee finally getting the goal. We'll come on to that in a second, but disappointed to see kind of the players once again on the back foot straight away in that second half.
Yeah, there seems to be, in years gone past, there always seemed to be in the majority of games the ability for Aberdeen to go out and get on top of games, get on top of teams and control the game. Sometimes the football wasn't pretty, but we controlled the game. The team seems to be so reactionary, and what's been really sad this season is you can tell what's going to happen the rest of the game by watching the first 15 minutes. If Aberdeen are shocking in the first 15 minutes, it's just not going to happen. We're going to try. We'll be a little bit brighter at half-time, but we know the result at the end of the day.
And, you know, the funny thing, you know, I laugh at that, but it's actually quite sad because, you know, everyone always says, oh, keyboard managers could, you know, you can't do a better job. But it really has felt this season that most of us watching Aberdeen can sense either what's coming or the result that's coming based on the team news. You know, Motherwell game sticks out that team, you know, that team was never going to work, and rightly 3-0 down. Even the St Mirren game, you know, you called that the watershed moment. Just felt that there was always a St Mirren equaliser. Felt it was kind of lingering. I did say at the time, you know, I did agree with Warnock that I didn't think they looked like scoring. There was a couple of mistakes kind of creeping into our play that you thought, we just give them half a chance, they'll probably capitalise. And yeah, I think that's quite an interesting assessment there on kind of being able to foresee some of the stuff that's happened. The result yesterday was only 1-0. I think widely agreed that it was flattering from an Aberdeen point of view. It only ended 1-0. The penalty itself, though, what's your take on that?
It's a shame. It's really unlucky. I don't think it's a penalty, of course. If it finished, as we said there, it flattered Dundee the result. If it finished 0-0, it would have been a travesty for Dundee. But, I mean, it's for a handball. It's poor because we know for a fact next week, somewhere in the Scottish Premiership, there'll be one not given.
Mm-hmm. Well, Conor Goldson at Ibrox.
Conor Goldson at Ibrox is the easy comparison to make. It's a shame, but, you know, Dundee did deserve to win. Dundee deserved to win. But when things are going against you, you get bad luck. Bad luck keeps coming when things are going against you. Now, if that hadn't happened and we had drawn 0-0, the mood might have been quite different because we might have said, look, we didn't play well, but we ground out a point. That's a bit of, you know, that's plucky. But instead, because of a weak, quite soft penalty, we didn't get any points and we're further in the mire.
Yeah, you know, as I said, I wasn't at the game last night. I was at the music hall instead and listening to Sports Sound on the way home. Willie Miller was a bit, I don't know, I thought it was strange because, you know, having not seen it until the decision till this morning, he said in this day and age, it was a penalty. And, you know, for someone kind of that holds Aberdeen in such high regard, I was maybe a bit surprised by that take from Willie, and, you know, saying that Jack McKenzie shouldn't be pushing Costello, and if he doesn't push Costello, his arms aren't up. And does that lead to part of the decision making around the VAR that yeah, I mean, if it's been awarded for a push, it's even more soft. But I think that it was awarded for the handball. But the fact that Jack's kind of gone to push Costello a little bit out of the way before jumping has led to his hand being in an unnatural position. But again, we go back to the point of consistently inconsistent refereeing in this situation. No Dundee players appeal for it. Those watching the Dundee TV or DTV commentary, their commentators were perplexed at this decision and what was even being checked as well. And I think the fact that it takes a good 4 or 5 minutes for them to come to the decision, it's a penalty. It's the game's being re-refereed. It's not clear and obvious. Hopefully, the handball rule gets changed in the summer or made somewhat clearer.
Yeah, it's amazing that it's amazing how anytime you hear in this day and age a penalty in this day and age, it just means it's a soft penalty. That's kind of what a soft handball penalty. So it's there needs to be some consistency with the handball issue.
And Paul Donaldson saying he hasn't seen the highlights back, but there looked to be a clear handball in the box in the first half. I'm not sure, Paul, if you're referring to the Conor Barron handball or if it was one for us, because there was certainly a Conor Barron, and I put in inverted commas, handball, where it felt to me a little bit similar to the kind of Nicky Devlin handball against Hibs, where he kind of leans a little bit towards the play. But for me, the difference between that one and the Nicky Devlin one anyway, felt a bit higher up in the arm, a bit more to the shoulder area. But certainly when you watch the two incidences on the highlights back, you would have probably not been surprised to see the Conor Barron one given and the Jack McKenzie one not be given. But of course, it's so confusing. It's the other way around.
I think as well, I mean, Willie Miller saying, oh, his hand shouldn't have been up there or anything like that. If his hand wasn't up there and he wasn't pushing Costello, then people would have been shouting for him to be pushing and getting physical with Costello. So, you know, you've got to take that into the argument as well.
Yeah, and I think my colleague Ian made the point as well, is that he almost maybe pushing him a little bit out of the way to get that room to actually elevate himself up and get involved. Clear the room so he could jump and try and head the ball. But really, as you said, our luck, certainly in the league just now, feels very much down and out. But if our luck's going to go the right way that we win the Scottish Cup, then I'll take that. But as long as we just then hold on to 10th place and don't drop down any further. Reaction to going behind, though, I think that's something that we look for in any team, regardless of where we are in the situation. Just a couple of really tame headers from Esther Sokler, the Slovenian finally getting some more minutes this season. He's not had a lot. Really summing up our night, that we've got nothing clear to speak about in terms of Aberdeen chances.
No, the chances were half chances at best, really. And there was no, I mean, there was no, didn't seem to be any kind of plan to try and get on top of the game. It didn't even look like there was any phases where it looked like we might be able to build a bit of pressure. There were just half chances that came out of 50-50s or half chances that came out of, you know, weird bounces and things like that. You know, maybe one or two decent chances. Mm-hmm. Whereas Dundee's chances were pretty clear, came from Aberdeen errors and they capitalised, and then other ones came from being on top. So yeah, our chances were not great.
Yeah, and without sounding like Barry Robson, poor Peter Leaven's not exactly got a lot of time on the training pitch to right the wrongs from last night ahead of the trip to Motherwell on Saturday. We'll come to that in a second. I think next of all, we'll move on to the managerial kind of talk, because if the club's to be believed, the interview process has been begun or underway this week. I just hope that Dave Cormack's not picking the new manager like I've been trying to pick horses at Cheltenham, just putting a pin in the paper and hoping for the best, because certainly you could argue that's what it's felt like so far with the three previous appointments. But one name that has kind of hit the headlines this week is Elfsborg manager Jimmy Thielen, a name that those that have listened to this podcast will have heard before because Callum's touted the name previous on occasion. Elfsborg finished second in the league, I think it was pointed out, on goal difference. So European football already assured for them next season. Certainly the sort of name that would potentially excite some of the fan base, maybe not others, but certainly the calibre of candidates I expect us to be at least looking to speak to, or kind of that's for me the benchmark, not the whole Neil Lennons and Alex Neils.
Yeah, absolutely. Jimmy Thielen is up in the top bracket of the manager we should be looking at. If there are fans thinking that he's slightly too big of a manager for us, that's kind of where you should be starting from. You should be starting from easiness down the bottom. But I have no idea how you try and entice a manager in at this stage. I mean, and the longer it goes on, the worse it'll get. The longer we're in a relegation fight, the worse it'll be for trying to recruit a manager, because the manager coming in will have less and less time. You know, as much as he believes in himself, he'll have less and less time to impact things and think, I might come in here, do everything right, and I'm playing a season in the Scottish Championship. So if we manage to get somebody of a calibre of Jimmy Thielen come in and right quick, it's a thumbs up from me.
Yeah, and I think even if it's not Jimmy and it was someone of that calibre, I think that's what's needed. But you're totally right. I think the longer we go on not winning a league game in the kind of level where we're going to be playing at next season remains uncertain, it potentially affects any incoming manager. Although you'd like to think that whoever wants to come and manage the club wouldn't be affected by where we're playing. However, it could change the mentality, because it would look to be a manager that would then look to bring us back up to where we as fans certainly believe we belong, at the other end of the table, that is. But of course, those worried about the attraction of European football got to remember, of course, that we've still got that opportunity, not via the league, of course. The Scottish Cup still our last glimmer of hope. But Scottish Cup is where we head next, Ewan. The decision and timings for the semi-finals were announced this lunchtime. The draw was made on Monday night after the game, so we didn't get a chance to really discuss it on the podcast. So first of all, I'll just get your thoughts. Celtic await in the semi-final. Initial reaction to the draw?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of drawing Celtic, I mean, it's not ideal. I think it'd have been nice to, if it got Hearts. I'm not saying not that we would have beat Hearts, but it'd have been nice to go into the game feeling like we had a bit more of a chance. I mean, we could pull off a miracle on Celtic, but a record down there is not very good. In terms of the actual draw, yes, it's a shame, but you know, we're going to have to just deal with it now.
You'd have had to beat one of the old firm to win the cup anyway. And I think given the standard of refereeing towards Rangers this season, I would much rather face Celtic. Hearts would have, obviously the winner of the Hearts Morton would have been the one that most fans would have wanted. Celtic, like ourselves, aren't in amazing form. So I don't feel too disappointed as such, but of course our record down there is not amazing. I think I saw someone say that we've not beaten Celtic at Hampden since 1992, which is mental if that's true. It might be a few years out, because I can't remember off the top of my head that stat. Of course, Graham Shinney suspended for that as well, so we know how much he can enjoy a battle. A couple of things, of course, on that semi-final before we come to a couple of points I want to go back to that have come in the comments. 12:30 kickoff in Glasgow. I'm assuming BBC are going to pick it up, given it's the Saturday game. The kickoff time, I'm not really kind of too adverse to. I think we already knew it wasn't going to be 3 o'clock on a Saturday. The biggest takeaway, and we probably shouldn't spend a lot of time debating this because we always knew it was going to happen, is thoughts on the fact that it wasn't a 50-50 ticket split, but Hearts against Rangers is a 50-50 ticket split.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it in isolation and we don't get the ticket split, I'm not surprised, but I'm slightly pissed off. But the fact that now Hearts and Rangers is a 50-50 ticket split, that's just like a little extra kick in the teeth that I don't see the reason behind it. I can't see the logic behind. I mean, sure, logic behind Hearts getting the 50-50 allocation. I mean, you could argue Hearts would probably bring more than we would, but I don't think it's the fact that they got the 50-50 and we didn't is what annoys it. I mean, I don't think they're that much more likely than us to pack out a 50-50 allocation.
I think it also annoys because obviously we didn't get the opportunity for the League Cup final to be 50-50 for various made up reasons that the SPFL and SFA want to paddle out. But I think if we're being brutally honest, a 50-50 split for the game against Celtic, we would have never sold 50-50 based on current form, kickoff time, pricing, whatever you want to blame on. For this game, those that want to be there will be there. I just think we were never kind of standing a chance of selling a 50-50. However, we'll repeat that because it shouldn't have to be said, but feels like it does when it comes to Scottish football. It should naturally start at a 50-50. Clubs should then be given the option. The fact that both ourselves and Hearts had to even demand 50-50 splits for this game is incredible and wrong. But I think what I've noticed as well is that Hearts have actually bought the 50-50, so they've bought their 50% of Hampden and will not be returning said tickets, even if they're not sold. So they're taking a hit and trusting their fans to go out and buy that. So whether Aberdeen decide to not do that, I'm not sure. Who knows? I just want to quickly go back onto the managerial situation, because there was a comment that kind of came in just as we moved on to the Scottish Cup semi-final from Pedro73. It says, do you think we are now looking at a manager for the relegation fight? And if so, should they not be in before the international break? I don't think that's going to happen unless we suddenly appoint somebody tomorrow. But do you think this managerial appointment has one eye on our current league status and trajectory, to use the word you used earlier, or ahead of next season and building this squad back up to the right end of the table, as I said earlier?
Well, I don't think it... one thing it can't be is a manager just in for a relegation fight. It can't be that. I mean, you want... they've always said, we need to get this managerial appointment correct. And bringing in a guy just for a relegation fight is not getting the appointment right. So I think we've got to find a manager that's willing to do both and say, right, got to do the business this season and come in. And in terms of timing, I want them in now, as long as it's the right guy. But also, you know, recognise where we are this season, say, right, fight now and then build tomorrow.
So with moving on then to the weekend's game, do you maybe have a feeling that any new manager could be in attendance at Parkhead, Fir Park even? Thank God we're not going to Parkhead this weekend.
No, actually, I don't. I think it's more likely to be the Ross County game if there's a manager in there. Oddly enough, I'm going to share this now, but there's a bit of a rumour that Willie Garner was playing golf at Meldrum House today and said that Leaven was going to be in for four games. So I don't know if that's just internet hearsay, but some of the news starting to filter around the Northeast is that Leaven's going to be in maybe another game after the international break. You know, I want the manager in as soon as possible. If the timeline is the international break, I think he might be watching discreetly, put it that way.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll have a dodgy stream somewhere if he's watching discreetly. But there's nothing better than an Aberdeen WhatsApp rumour. And the fact you've even said that, probably wait about 10 minutes and once I come off this live, that rumour will be in my WhatsApp that Leaven's now in charge for four games because Willie Garner said when he was playing golf. It's funny how things spread wings and grow on WhatsApp. Kind of probably following up on our discussion, Pedro73 follows up with, do you trust the board not to panic and appoint someone? Maybe they're not panicking if they're giving Leaven an extra couple of games, if of course that proves to be true.
I don't think they've much of a choice if they panic now and I think it's going to cause more harm than good with a knee-jerk appointment just now. I think their hands are quite tied in terms of putting the work in to get the right manager now.
Well, they've spent a lot of money on that that report. So they've done all the background work, and let's see what the advice is. But before we came live, you and you mentioned a couple of words in relation to the performance last night against Dundee, the fact that we were out-battled, we were out-fought. These are the bare minimum we expect to be doing to the opposition, and that has to start on Saturday against Motherwell.
Yeah, if it's going to start, this has to start now. I think, you know, I after what Levan said after the game, I think this is a likely a game we should see a reaction. I think it's almost like the first real admission from playing staff that they're in a relegation battle. Warnock had a slight alluded to it slightly, but this is the first time that Levan's come out and said Penny's got a drop, we're in trouble. So we'll see how that goes.
It's funny you say that, because I think had Warnock come out and said that, which I'm pretty sure he wanted to, he'd have got accused of being negative. Oh, that's not the right mentality, is he? And I know certainly the kind of comments I was making on the Twitter page last night with fans were like, well, you know, you never said that about Neil Warnock. I was never saying that, you know, Levan was throwing players under the bus compared to Neil Warnock. I thought it was about psychology from Neil Warnock to try and fire those players up. And I mean, really, God help us if the penny hasn't dropped or doesn't drop between now and the weekend, and heaven forbid we lose again this weekend. What does it take for the penny to drop? Does it take for this weekend us to lose, County to beat Hearts, and we go into that game at Pittodrie level on points with Ross County? Does it have to take for that reality to hit some of these players and some of the backroom staff as well? Because I know a lot of fans, I'm really surprised not to see it being mentioned in the comments tonight, because you are fearful of seeing it as well, is the likes of Craig Sampson, because his future has got to be on the line if this run of form continues, and well, whenever the new manager comes in.
Yeah, I mean, he was seen on his phone, I think, for a while. He was seen kind of giving tactics, the kind of tactical talk to the strikers.
That just makes me laugh that our goalkeeping coach gives the tactical analysis to any of our subs coming on.
Yeah, I mean, it's division of labour is a wee bit strange at the club at the minute. It's a bit odd. I mean, that's surely the manager's job, and if the manager can't do it, why can't the manager do it? Goalkeeping, coaching, pieces of advice, that's your job. Just going on kind of what you said about the penny dropping for the players, I sincerely hope that there's no player in that dressing room that has gone and said, oh, no, we won't get relegated. Mm. Nah, we're just at a bad run of form. We'll be fine. That has to stop. If that is said in the dressing room, if any player says, oh, we'll be fine, that needs to be sat on immediately, because it's not worth it. Like, we're not going to be fine unless things change.
And I guess, again, that kind of goes down to bigger teams. You look at Hibs, Dundee United, Hearts, probably maybe they had similar attitudes in the dressing room. You know, when fans talk about, oh, they're too big to go, those teams are too big to go down, Aberdeen are too big to go down. Those yo-yo clubs have proved it's quite easy to go down. And we have to hope that that's not. Andy B saying the penny dropped surely weeks ago. Players and coaches must know after an 11-game winless streak, of course, in the league. It should have, Andy, I agree. It's not, which is a huge worry. Alan S saying, does appointing a manager after the international break point it to being Michael O'Neill? I think I mentioned this on the last episode. It feels very much a 2 + 2 = 5. And certainly from what I've heard is that the compensation, and I know it was in the news article again today, that Michael O'Neill's on a significantly long contract with the Northern Ireland team and is paid quite handsomely as well. And certainly before the article that came out today, I was told that the compensation that Northern Ireland want is vast and has certainly put the club off initial, maybe making an offer, but he is someone that is highly thought of at the club as well. And I think Neil Warnock was an expensive mistake. You know, I think that can be factually correct. We've spent a lot of money on managers. Can we afford to spend a lot of money getting a manager in? And I guess, you could also apply that to Jimmy Thielen. I think he's under contract until 2026 as well. What would compensation be like taking any manager from a club to Aberdeen? And do we have to look at that wisely?
The managerial appointment is the most important appointment at the club. It sets the tone, is the figure, kind of the figurehead for performance of the first team, which is what the football club's about. And it has to be right. And it has to, the person in the role has to be right. So I think if there's anyone you're going to make expense, you're going to throw money at, it's got to be the manager. I mean, you can debate if a certain player's amount, a certain amount of money and things like that, but the manager leads the line. And if it's off, then the 11 players are off. So I think throw the money. Davies dollars, go for it.
Yeah, well, I'll be coming back to you if Davies dingo dollars are proven on the wrong man. Saying, well, it doesn't matter what money we spent. 123 We Dave says, we look a team of players who are just leaving it to the next man, few among them with the character to assume responsibility. Well, responsibility needs to be taken. It should have been taken by now, but has to start this weekend at Motherwell. There was an unchanged team that lined up against Dundee. With this being the third game in 7 days, it looked by all accounts a very heavy pitch at Dundee. Not that we did much in the way of going forward. Do you expect any changes based on what we saw? Because Peter Leaven sounded an angry man at full-time, maybe a disappointed man as well. And we all know there's nothing worse than someone you look up to or someone that is in charge of you feeling disappointed in you. Do you expect changes going into this weekend?
There could be one or two, but it'll be hard to say whether that's due to the opposition or due to changes and things. But I wouldn't be surprised if there was one or two changes because of you were shocking and you're going to sit on the bench. It's hard to say what it's going to be, but if it came out, if Peter Leaven was incredibly frank and said, I've dropped Devlin because he was absolutely shocking, then I'd be like, okay, I'll take that. But
the problem is, who do you play who's a competent right back other than possibly Jack Milne? But again, is that his favourite position? I think the club have certainly looked to put him more of a centre back. There should be a couple of changes, but what we've kind of come to realise is that the strength and depth of this team isn't where it should be, and it's certainly not where we were promised at the start of the season. Another failed promise from the board where we were supposed to have a big squad, a squad that capable of competing on all fronts. We only seemed capable of competing in the domestic cup so far this season.
It's amazing because at the start of the season we were talking about signing a lot of players to have a strength and depth so that we can play in four tournaments. We're now in March and we don't have the strength and depth to change out certain positions in the league. That is a supreme failure of recruitment.
Yeah, it really is. I'm sure that report told us that, but again, we didn't need to pay someone a lot of money to tell the board that. But I guess the musical box kind of countering that, saying we did sign a lot of players. I guess the problem is that not all of them are the quality of a Miovski, a Duke, and a few were duds. And I guess that's just the potluck of recruitment and, you know, some injuries that have kind of affected some players as well. But we are where we are, and ultimately things need to improve. We need, I don't say we need 3 points on Saturday. We just need something to stop the rot, give the players some form of confidence, because I can't help but feel any sort of momentum that Ross County build into this weekend, because a lot of us will be keeping an eye, whether you're going to admit it or not, we'll be keeping one eye on events in Dingwall, because if that gap is 2 points or less going into that game after the international break, it's going to be a weird atmosphere, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a situation we're usually in. I mean, it's weird because we're not usually in one of those checking other teams' results situation, because, you know, we've either been mid-table when things haven't really mattered, or we've been clear in third. We've never had this bottom of the table scrap. So the atmosphere is going to be weird. It is going to be weird, but it makes it no less important to get a result.
No, it doesn't, and that's the thing. And you know, we've spoken about reactions and responsibilities, and I'm expecting to see both from the players this weekend, because we spoke about the fans and the fans doing their bit. The support and level of support being leveled at the club right now, it remains the same. As I said, you know, I'm on here every week, you know, demanding better and I'm wanting more. But from minute zero to 90, when I'm at a game, I'll back the team. I'll want them to do well. If the performance falls below par, I'll vent my feeling. And anyone, of course, that pays money to go to the game is entitled to hold an opinion on level of performance, whether that be individual, team, or manager. And it comes to a point where the loyalty and level of support being shown off the pitch has to be rewarded on the pitch. You know, it was nice, I guess, to hear an apology from Peter Leaven. I'm sure we all wish he didn't have to apologise based on the result to last night, but at least he can put his hands up and say sorry to those fans that travelled down in a midweek. I know it's only an hour away to Dundee, but still, you know, middle of the week, giving up your time and money to go to that game. And I'm sure we'll travel in decent numbers again to Motherwell on Saturday, when other supports of other clubs would abandon their team and not turn up. Our fans continue to do that. And I just hope that the players and the board appreciate just how much support they are getting when they probably don't deserve it at times.
It's a sad thing, because I remember there was a period where I thought if the club start, when we were doing really well, and I thought if the club starts slipping down the table, you know, the fans will just completely will go. The fans will completely go. But now we're in the worst situation I've ever known us to be in. And I've been so impressed and proud and really proud at how we've stuck with the team. Mm-hmm. There's obviously been people that said, I'm not watching this anymore, not coming back. But that's not been a wholesale. And it's sad, because I can't believe how low we've had to go for us and our fellow fans to see how loyal and great as fans we are. That, as you said, it needs rewarded by results now, because we really are doing our best here.
And I think, you know, a result at the weekend would just give us that lift and just save a couple of weeks of worry during that international break, because it will be depressing, you know, a couple of weeks to kind of fester on what's to come, and especially with social media, and if there was any delay to the managerial appointment, which of course we've been told should happen during the international break, concern and talk and rumours will continue like wildfire throughout the Northeast. But Ewan, really enjoyed the episode tonight and getting you on for your RTG debut. I hope you've enjoyed being on screen instead of in the comment section tonight.
Yeah, it's been good. Always counting myself as a utility man, so you know, it's been great. No, it's been great, Glenn. Thanks for having me on. It's been smashing.
No, thanks very much. And slightly cathartic to speak about kind of the situation. And as David McLaren says, we'll be there through thick and thin, Forbes McFarlane. I'm not sure if you're taking the piss or not, because that saying always feels like it's a bit of a piss take these days. Once a Don, always a Don. I think that feels a very apt place to end things. So thank you very much for tuning in to this episode of Red Tinted Glasses. Remember, if you've been watching the video tonight, leave a like, comment your thoughts on catch up as well. Subscribe, it's free to do so, whether here on YouTube or on audio. Until next time, thanks very much.
Sports Social Podcast Network.